Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I am here with Brian, who you can find on Twitter at PureRockFury. And we are here with Chris, who you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. Damien could not be with us this week, so we'll have to suffer without that. But you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you can head to reviewandroast.com to check out all of our reviews on books, movies, TV shows, board games, video games, pretty much everything that we can think of. Plus, you can buy movie tickets there. So we think you should do that because that will help us and that will help you. Because, you know, you don't want to run into a scenario like the other day when Mike and I went to the movies. He did not buy the tickets on our site. We got to the movies. Everything was sold out. So don't we look like a couple of dumbasses who own a site where you can buy tickets, and we had no tickets.
You guys suck.
Yeah, it was super annoying. But other than that, let's start the show.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
I was. I'm very forceful tonight. The force has awoken in me, and the force in me told me that I needed to finish Justified this week, so I did.
And
outside of a handful of things in the last season, I was like, "There's no way that could happen."
Explain.
For instance, when
wrong,
Choo Choo grabbed that girl and took her to go kill her. And then he was running from Raylan and whatever. And he stopped on the train tracks. And that train was barreling down on him, but just had enough time to stop before it hit his car. Impossible. That train would have blew right through that car for the next half a mile before it was able to stop. That was a little too unbelievable. Other than that, the only thing I didn't really like, but I almost kind of expected, I guess, is that Raylan didn't end up with the girl at the end.
See, that's what okay, the train thing, I think, is nitpicking to the point of almost being hilarious.
But it's not, because it literally can take up to a mile for a train to stop. That thing was like half a block down, and it just came to a complete stop. Impossible. Cannot happen.
Didn't say it's impossible or whatever. I'm just saying, like, going, well, that ruined my...
No, it didn't ruin it, but it was
score.
Like...
No.
Just saying.
Boo. Boo to that.
I very much am in favor of things.
Now, which girl did you think he should have ended up with?
Well, the entire second half of the season was all about him and his wife getting back together to raise the kids. Or a kid, rather. And they even were like, yep, I think we should do this. And then here it is. Hey, here's 11 months later. Hey, here's new daddy. You know, it's just like, I mean, I kind of didn't expect them to have the happy ending, but they kind of almost set it up like they should have, and it was just like, well, whatever. I mean, I kind of expected it, but, you know, whatevs.
But see, I wanted him to get together with Ava.
That would have been neat, but then that would have proved their whole, like, you know, he's in on the $10 million, and that's just not him.
That doesn't matter. I never wanted them to break up. Oh, my
wow.
God. No, I can't complain, though, because Natalie Zia is gorgeous, and I can't complain when she's on a show that I'm watching, because she's fantastically easy on the eyes. She's the, like, main reason. Well, I like Jason Jones a lot, but that new show, The Detour, the only reason I still watch it is because she's the mom, and she is the hottest of moms.
And I can't remember his name, but he was only in, like, the last four or five episodes. But after Sam Elliott killed everybody in his crew, or they all died, and he brought in that crazy weirdo with the mustache, that guy was awesome.
He was all right.
That guy, you need to watch it again. That dude was, like, super creepy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he was, like, staring at 13-year-old girls in a pool creepy.
I don't know about all that.
No, he was.
No.
Colonel Mustache with the mustache. I don't know. When you're talking about, I forget the guy's name. The guy, he's like Raylan's co-worker, the guy that was an Iraq veteran. He doesn't say a whole lot.
Apricot.
That guy's the best.
That guy is
the
best.
He would have slaughtered Mustache Face all day long.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I want to be that guy. If I could be anybody on that show and it's not Woodhouse, is that his name?
Wynn Duffy?
Oh, if I could be Wynn, you know, I take that back. If I could be Wynn Duffy, that's better than anything. Wynn Duffy is the best.
Woodhouse. Guy. Woodhouse is from Archer.
Who's the guy then?
What guy?
The guy from the guy with the shoe fly pie. Pops in and out every so often.
Limehouse.
Limehouse.
Limehouse rules.
If I can't be Limehouse, well, actually, I want to be Wynn Duffy. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to break your bubble here, but I don't think you got the teeth to be Limehouse.
I ain't got the hair to be Wynn Duffy.
You could.
I should.
You won't.
I know I won't. But Wynn Duffy, clearly the best character since probably Dutch from The Shield.
And Chris is like, I don't know what the fuck these guys are saying.
Yeah, I don't.
Then there's a show on Amazon, or it's on DVD, or it's everywhere called Justified. You should go get it and stop breathing into the microphone like that.
I'm not. Wynn Duffy.
Yeah, yeah. I watched Justified. I don't know what you're staring at. You can,
oh, I just.
I mean, I'm sure I've got more, but I'm sure people don't want to listen to me talk about Overwatch. Actually, Chris probably does want to hear me talk about Overwatch. Dude, last night, Mike and I were playing, and we got into a match. All six of us were divas, and we absolutely walked through the other team, dude. It was the best.
What time was this at?
Probably around 9:30.
What was I doing?
I don't know, but I put the video on YouTube. I will. I'll send you the link after the show here. It's amazing.
I have to play. I haven't played in a couple of days.
Well, providing we get out of here early enough, I might hop on for a little bit after this.
Sounds sexy.
Right? So, that's me for the week. Brian?
Well, last weekend, Chris was here, and we forced him to play a very lengthy game of Firefly. That was probably soul-crushing for him.
How is it soul-crushing?
I don't know, because it was super long.
No, it's fine.
You're not used to the mayhem of a five-hour game?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, I'm so back.
If it had Knights and Dragons in it, I probably would have been more attentive.
So Knights and Dragons are more your jam?
I don't mind sci-fi stuff, but I don't know.
We got Knights and Dragons. Oh my god.
I know you do. But I liked it.
I liked it, this guy. I live that game sometimes. Sometimes I dive in and I don't come out for weeks.
You were about to have a spat.
I was about to fucking throw the table across the room. I was so mad. That was one of maybe two times total where I felt like I was screwed royally at the very end. So
all you did was get a bad roll.
There was a couple of bad events that all coincided back to back to back that just... I felt like the world was screwing me.
But you should be used to that.
Yeah, I pretty much am. I shouldn't expect much from the world anymore. Failure, sadness, and doldrums. It's pretty much what it all is. Despair the band?
No, despair, just in general.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, we played... I got this game, Belfort. And there's only one reason I bought it. I bought this game called Harbor about 9 months ago, and it came with a two-guild expansion for Belfort. And I'm like, well, fuck, now I guess I gotta go buy Belfort. So I had a Christmas bonus, and I bought Belfort, finally played it last Sunday, and after all the setup and the components, I'm super pumped to play it, and we played it twice, and I gotta say, right now, I'm not sold. I feel like the game is hideously imbalanced if you're not the first player.
I could not agree more.
I love everything else, though. The theme, the structure of how the turns work, all the different buildings and all the different like ways to strategize how you're going to lay out your, you know, territories. Everything about that is great. Like, if that was the whole of the game, I'd be like, ooh, nine. But when you factor in the first player pretty much gets to wallop everybody and continue to do so, now the game's like a 6-5 maybe. Which sucks, because Tasty Minstrel Games, the company that made that game, makes fucking great games. So I'm really
disappointed. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if we play it a few more times, I might be able to figure out a way to make it happen. But pretty much, like, the second we obviously we played it the first time around, and we were like, I kind of get it. But by the end, you're like, yeah, okay, I got it. And then the next game, Mike not only started with first player, right? He had it the entire game.
I gave him first player because he won the first game.
Right. So all he did, his very first move every single turn, was to claim the first player marker so that no one else can get it.
Was that Max?
No, Mike.
Mike.
So, not, you know, he was the first player the entire game, and he absolutely just, like, killed it.
Yeah, because his first turn, claim first player. Second turn, add another guy. So he's just racking up dudes. By, like, the midway through the game, he's got, like, 14 workers. That's damn near impossible.
Apparently not.
Well, yeah, unless you're first player.
Well, and he was always like, well, why didn't you guys do it, too? Well, it costs money, and I have no money because I'm trying to do my best to stay afloat here. You know, meanwhile, you're getting...
Well, that's the trick. The more workers, the more money you make. If you can't get workers, you can't make money. Therefore, you can't get caught up.
Right, yeah.
Kind of like life.
It's one of those games where once you fuck up in the beginning, you're not catching back up.
No, the thing about life is when you have a lot of workers, you get less money. Because more people get paid better than you. And then you're like, man, that guy makes like twice the amount and all he does is buy cigarettes.
Well, that's why you got to have the Walmart theory.
What's that?
You pay him enough... You pay them low enough so that they can still collect welfare. Because, I mean, you're the richest guy on the planet, but fuck them, right?
Now we're doing that again.
I mean...
Real nice.
Sometimes I just feel like it's got to be said.
And now for new number two, we're reviewing Renato Jones Part 2, The Reckoning.
God, I still haven't read that. I'm an ass.
I'm kidding.
I started reading it.
Well, I mean, it's only like 8 pages, so, I mean, if you couldn't finish that, that's kind of sad.
So I guess now we'll talk about Chris's experience at Baker Square Saturday and how amazing that was.
What did I do?
I don't know. Right? I was going to say, I mean...
I don't know.
How was your pie, since you didn't eat it there like the rest of us fatzos?
I ate it when I got home.
Yeah, 2 hours later.
No, an hour later.
In the dark, in the kitchen, crying. This is going straight to
pretty
my
much.
Thighs.
Did you go out for like 2 a.m. jog?
No.
A 1 a.m. jog?
Hey, Captain Cereal Pants over there.
What, I'm eating enchiladas.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about what else you did this week so we can move on.
I hung out with you guys.
That was pretty awesome. We're pretty dope.
There's no highlights of you and the wife doing anything amazing, watching Criminal Minds?
No, it was Father's Day.
What'd you guys do?
I went and shot off a rocket.
Into it?
Or some rockets.
At somebody?
No, I wish I did. No, I got there kind of late, but...
You got a late butt? Nice.
No, because it's only 12 to 5. I got there kind of late at the field, and one igniter wasn't working. One rocket went off, and the delay charge, the ejection charge went and blew the shock cord straight off my rocket, so... So it wasn't connected to the parachute, and it just came down. Luckily, it landed in tall grass, so nothing happened to it.
How big was the rocket?
It's like about 3 feet long.
Jeez Louise.
What?
That's a big rocket to come crashing down with no parachute.
I know. The other one I'm building right now is 3.5 feet. Oh, no. Just shy of 3.5 feet, actually. About 40 inches. And then the third one, I couldn't even fit my engine in for some reason, so I just said scrap it, and went home all mad.
What do you mean scrap it? You can't just get a different engine?
Well, because they only have their permits only from 12 to 5, so they gotta get out of there at 5.
That's so weird that you need a permit. Is it because they're so big?
I need a permit to shoot. I don't know, because, like, that's why I just go there, because, like, trying to find a field to do it, and like you go and do it, everyone like kind of looks at you. What are you doing?
Yeah,
I got a fucking Scud missile. Where's your fucking house so I can fire it at it?
I did get yelled at. Like I said, a few years.
They all look at you like it's like you're holding the fucking hydrogen bomb in your fucking hands.
It was a few years ago that Joe and I had a couple of rockets, and my mom has a field behind her house. So we went out there to shoot them off, and the neighbor was in her yard. She's like, "You better not be blowing off fireworks. You're gonna start a fire." I'm like, "It ain't fucking fireworks. Go back in the house."
One side, Betty.
I have this right. So I can point this rocket straight up your ass.
Yeah, I lost my rocket, and it got stuck in a tree. Womp womp.
I had mine. I had one get stuck in a tree last year. I went and got it, shanghaied it out.
Joe's parachuted a block over through all the trees and just landed in someone's front lawn. Mine went three houses down and landed in the tallest tree in this guy's backyard.
Ah.
Yeah, it's probably still there. Just saying.
Well, that's another, like, the field that I go to that they have permanent is pretty much, you know, free.
Wide open, yeah. Yeah, they have one not too far from here, but I've never gone there to do anything. But we should move this along. Oh, my God. I never announced anything at the beginning. What a douche. So our number one for the week was The Dark Knight Returns, The Last Crusade number one by Frank Miller and Brian Azzarello. And also really quick, our over-under is Nicolas Cage films or roles. But I feel like, you know, it's kind of the same. But this is going to be awesome. Anywho, back to the number one, Dark Knight Returns, The Last Crusade, number one. This was Christopher's pick, so why don't you tell us a little something about it?
This is supposed to be a prequel to The Dark Knight Returns.
Now, when we say that, do we mean the comic or the movie?
The comic.
Okay.
The comic and the movie are one and the same, more or less.
I wasn't sure.
Right. Well, yeah, it takes cues from it, you know.
I mean, it depends on what movie you're talking about here.
Dark Knight Returns?
The animated one?
No.
There is no Dark Knight Returns movie.
What is it? The Dark Knight and then what?
The Batman one, dude.
The Dark Knight Rises?
Oh, whatever. Same difference.
Well, totally different story.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's what I had in my mind, and that doesn't add up.
The second one's called Dark Knight Returns.
No, it's just Dark Knight. The first one was Batman Begins.
You're, like, way off the mark, then.
Yeah,
hold on a second here, you Jagamundos. Anyways, so this is a prequel to The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller that came out in the 80s. Well, it definitely looks like The Dark Knight Returns. Artistic, art-wise and color-wise, as far as the story goes and everything, it's, I guess Batman is starting to feel a little worn and torn, and old age is pretty much coming, nipping at his heels, but, I mean, to be honest with you, doesn't this, like, this pretty much, like, starts off just like something you've, like, read before. I mean, shoot, I've played a video game that starts off like this. Joker getting caught. Right there, dude, I was just like, oh, man. I'm like, come on.
Well,
thought of something else fucking better to do? How many times has the fucking Batman story started off like that?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I liked this, but I didn't love it either.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. When I was reading it, I started falling asleep.
No, it wasn't that bad. Come on. I read.
I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying I started getting sleepy. That's all.
I feel like I've read The Dark Knight Returns twice. I've watched the animated film. The story for that time, and it still holds up really pretty well.
Yeah, that does.
And what makes that book work is it doesn't
Brian
focus.
Azzarillo's not on it.
It doesn't focus on one villain. It's kind of just you know, a period in Gotham that just happens to be captured in a story. So, I mean, a lot of villains make their appearance and Superman makes his appearance. And, I mean, there's a central... there's a central conflict, but it doesn't revolve around Batman's got to catch Two-Face and lock him back up again. Woo! This definitely kind of felt like another standard whodunit. Like, ooh, all these wealthy businessmen are mesmerized by this mystery woman. It turns out to be, oh, wait, it's Poison Ivy. What a shock.
Yep.
There were elements I liked. I liked the whole angle where Selina Kyle's a retired thief, and now she's trying to get Bruce Wayne to settle down and make her a millionaire without having to try any longer. And
right,
the fact that she's like trying to turn on the sexiness and like, ooh, I could put the Catwoman.
I was like, yeah, I was gonna say I like the sexual innuendos that she was throwing out.
Yeah, I could put the Catwoman costume on, you know, for old time's sake, wink, wink, and then we can get down all night. Ow.
Like, that sounds way better than hanging out with Jason Todd.
I kind of got the
did it seem to go anywhere? It didn't.
I really felt like this was more almost of a prequel to Death in the Family than it was a prequel to Dark Knight Returns. I don't know. See, here's the thing. I feel like the Dark Knight Returns works because it was a product of its time and it's captured a certain vibe and it worked well enough on its own, but trying to like tack onto it now is kind of stupid.
It just felt very cliche at the beginning for me. You know, them catching Joker and Joker going to jail.
Here's the the Dark Knight Returns 3 or Dark Knight 3 the Master Race, I'm actually loving that now. Like, the first issue was...
Yeah, that one's fine.
But yeah, that one's, like, a good deal of years after the fact. Whereas this, like, oh, we have this story, and it's a classic, and people love it, but we're going to add just another piece on at the beginning. It's like if they went... Just think of any movie. The Godfather. Well, we want to tell you the 20 minutes that happened to Vito Corleone before the beginning of the movie, and we're going to add it as a special edition. No, I go, fuck that. The Godfather is perfect the way it is. Don't leave it. Don't do anything to it. Actually, you know what? Actually, like 15 years ago, Anchor Bay released the 30th anniversary edition of Night of the Living Dead, and their big seller was, hey, we're going to film 10 minutes new footage and tack it on the beginning. And it was fucking stupid. That's what this kind of feels like.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. It seems kind of haphazard, and to me, it just, I don't see like where it ties in.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like the week before everything in the Dark Knight Returns happens. So it's basically Batman, Hank, you know, banging Catwoman, going grocery shopping, celebrating his birthday, making his bed.
For some reason, he's going to Whole Foods, and Whole Foods didn't exist in the 80s.
Right.
So it's like, wait.
Watching TV, hanging out with Jason Todd.
What are you doing at Trader Joe's? It's like the whole timeline's all screwy. Like, why is he watching The Americans?
Working on his car, scratching his ass, taking a dump. This is more like shit that you would see people put on Facebook. I'm at the store right now. No one gives a fuck.
Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you're kind of like, I kind of see what you're saying. Because I don't know. I don't know.
The events that are taking place don't seem that important, really.
I feel like if it was a piece of a separate story, it would be fine. But again,
cool,
like,
Batman's getting some tail, literally.
Well. This isn't... There's been plenty of times where that's happened, so...
Well, yeah, I know that, but...
Guy's kind of a stud.
Yeah. Well, you're a fucking millionaire. You pretty much...
He's a billionaire. He's a billionaire.
Billion. Yeah.
He's probably a trillionaire next, so get ready for that.
So, I mean...
I don't know. Scott hasn't said anything.
Well, I mean, right away when Chris started talking, I pretty much kind of had the same feeling. It feels like something I've read already. It feels very familiar.
Especially in the beginning.
Yeah, and I've never read...
Especially in the beginning.
I've never read Dark Knight Returns, so I don't want to sound like a dork.
Video games are like that. Oh, here, yeah. We caught Batman. We caught Joker.
It seemed pretty familiar in the beginning, and then it... Like, the rest of it felt very familiar to the animated movie that we watched with Batman and where he was training Damian. This felt like that, where except now he's training Jason Todd instead of Damian. And he's like, oh... And he kind of sees that the kid has a little, almost an evil side to him, where he almost enjoys causing pain to these people, whereas right. he's not supposed to, you know...
Maybe slightly sadistic.
Right, yeah. So it just felt really familiar all around. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just... It felt...
No, I think the art is fine.
Yeah.
I think the colors are fine. I even think the dialogue and the writing was fine. It's just, I guess, the point in time that they picked isn't exactly that great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, if it was a piece of a separate story...
The Last Crusade, obviously, that's not The Last Crusade if this is a prequel, because Dark Knight Returns and Dark Knight Strikes Again and...
Yeah, again, this is just... If it was a piece of a different story, it would be fine. But, again, it just feels like, oh, we got this book, and it's perfect. But we're going to tack on a new beginning. Why? I don't know.
Because Batman has the momentum right now.
Batman's always got the
momentum. I know, but, like, between... Like, with What's-His-Face and other What's-His-Face just getting off, like, the biggest run of Batman and whatever, and now they got Rebirth coming, like... You know what I'm saying? Like Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo just finished like.
But when I read
best.
Something like this, you know what this tells me? It tells me it's like, it tells me like they're running out of ideas.
Oh. I think that the Master Race has actually been an experiment that's been working pretty well. It's turned out to be a pretty great story so far.
Right. So which kind of also has me thinking like. What were they thinking then at this point?
Money, 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 money.
Right. Boop, 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 boop. And that's just it. Like, I don't know how it is across the country, but like I can tell you, at least by us, this Rebirth thing is doing really well. So like, it's not like they need the money. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know like at least at our stores, the books come out on Wednesday. Mike goes to the store on Wednesdays, and a lot of times, a lot of those books are already sold out. Like, that's kind of a big deal.
And
you know what I mean?
I like DC characters. I actually like DC characters more than I like Marvel characters, but...
Yeah, I don't...
I hate Marvel characters, but I just... I like some of the DC... I like more of the DC characters. I don't know why.
I'm not going to hitch my wagon to either train, but DC definitely has the better villains.
Yes.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I mean, no, yes, like, the Joker's been in a million stories, and he's been done a million different ways, and this one is very familiar. Still awesome. I mean,
no, I don't. I don't generally get tired of the Joker, but I just don't like this feeling like the new beginning of a story that already exists.
Yeah.
Like, just start something different. Do a story from a year before. Do 5 years before Dark Knight Returns. How about the Dark Knight's about to go away?
Or you had that from when we were watching, what was it, the Flashpoint Paradox, where you had Batman, but it was his father.
Yes.
And he was a super badass. Like, let's see some more of that. Or what they just did in Superman Batman, where they had, like, Desert Storm Batman. Dude, let's see more of that. That was badass. Just saying.
Well, Batman's always awesome, so...
He's always awesome, but, like, there's so many, like, other things that they've just tapped the surface on that they could really just go nuts on.
Oh, I'm all for Thomas Wayne Batman with the red eyes and the weird...
Do that?
Like, he makes Batman...
Look like a pussy.
No, he makes Batman... He makes Batman look like Gilbert Gottfried in the joke department.
Yes.
He's, like, the most humorless thing ever created.
It's just so intense.
Like Howie Mandel.
No, seriously, because Batman's fairly humorless. But in the Flashpoint story where Thomas Wayne becomes Batman because Bruce and his mother get killed in a different timeline, Thomas Wayne, I mean, he's like the scumbag Batman. Like, he's his Batcave is literally like just a hole in the dirt with a desk. And he's gotten... He's just like...
He's got a couple of nudie mags lying on the floor.
He's just like, everything sucks. I hate everyone.
Yeah, and he's literally all about street justice. Like, he don't give a shit. He'll fuck you up in a minute. There's none of this, like, well, the right thing to do. Nope. The right thing to do is to crush your skull, son.
I'll karate kick you off a building.
Yeah, like, it's seriously awesome.
Do you smile, Bruce? Or do you smile, Thomas? I am smiling. That's not a smile, it's a frown. That's my smile.
I don't know. But, yeah, I just, it was all right.
Yeah. It's about where I'm at.
Brian Azzarello, he's hit or miss. This was not a miss. This is not a miss. It's like a base hit.
It was a single, yeah.
It was like a base hit off the shortstop's glove.
It was almost a foul ball.
Yeah, the guy gets the first.
He just made it.
It was a sacrifice bunt.
Guy gets the first, you know, on an error. Yeah. You know, maybe gets the second on an error.
It was a walk. He got a ball four.
Pretty much. I mean, you throw Batman on the cover, people are going to buy it, and it's that simple.
Oddly enough, but, Joker's on the cover.
Going back to the whole, like, villains thing, why couldn't they have used anyone? They could have used the Penguin, Bane.
Well, to be fair, they used Killer Croc.
Well, yeah.
And they used Poison Ivy.
Which I thought was pretty awesome, actually. And Poison Ivy was in there. Nobody wants to see Mr.
I'm pretty flexible with my Killer Croc. He can look like a gangster with scaly skin, and he can look like an actual alligator, and I'm pretty fine with it all. My favorite Killer Croc actually is in the Batman Broken City story. That's my favorite one. Because he's a little more crocodile, but he's still kind of a, you know...
I have no problem with him. I mean, look at his... He's called Killer Croc. I mean...
I like it more when he's more of a... like a mutant cannibal as opposed to like an actual alligator. But if he's an actual alligator, I don't hate it either because alligators are hilarious.
That was pretty sweet, though, in the book when he was like, I just don't want to get eaten. Please don't let me get eaten.
That's what I'm saying. It had some good moments. That was one of them. The end with Jason Todd, which I won't give away, was fantastic. Love that. But there was so much. It was like every other thing.
It was a lot of ups and downs, I would say.
Every other thing was really great, followed by something that was kind of like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
Boo.
They'd have like a little high moment, and then all of a sudden it's, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Alfred sending out invitations for Batman's birthday.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I don't feel like Frank Miller is contributing to any of these stories at all. I think he's literally just putting his name on it and going, yep, pay me.
You want to read a story? Nah, I'm fine.
I don't know what Frank Miller does anymore. I honestly don't. I don't think...
Cashes checks?
Yeah, he must. Speaking of which, just to get off topic for a moment, I bought and watched Sin City, A Dame to Kill For about 2 weeks ago.
Hit Netflix.
Did it really?
Yes.
Oh, I got to watch it.
I just got the email about it like yesterday.
I'm going to say it's 3/4 of a really good movie. Followed by 1/4 of a really fucking horrible movie. Remember that movie Damien talked about like 2 weeks ago about the zombies and that the end was so fucking bad? That's how I feel about this movie. Like, it starts out good, then it gets really good, because Dame to Kill For is my favorite Sin City book, and the end is so fucking terrible, I want to cry.
It stinks because the first movie was awesome.
Oh, it is. And actually, this one is 75% awesome. It wasn't that awesome in the theater, but I watched it again, and I'm like, this movie's actually kind of great. Until the end. Anyway, that was just my little Frank Miller deal. And
yeah, I suppose we can number this.
Yeah. Well, you picked it, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go with a 6.5. I thought the art and the color and everything, that's fine. That's great. It looks and feels... like the Dark Knight, Frank Miller, Dark Knight, you know, Returns, 1986. But the story with its, you know, highs and lows, and when I say highs and lows, I mean, like, you know, there's a high moment, and then there's Batman making pancakes, and then, you know, he's getting his ass kicked by Killer Croc, then Alfred is making him some chicken soup, and he's paying some bills.
Damn it, Alfred, do you ever pay comment on time?
No, didn't it feel like he's Killer Croc is kicking the shit out of him, and then the next thing is, you know, Alfred telling him about his birthday. He's like, what the fuck just happened?
It did feel like there were some just unnecessarily weird mundane cuts. Moments that were like pointless.
Here's Batman buying some linens.
1 minute him and Jason Todd are trading, the next minute he's watching Perry Mason, and Jason Todd's like, where are my socks? They're in the laundry room. Will you just get your own stuff from now on? You're the worst pseudo-dad ever. Dad, man, bad guy.
Dude, it was. I can point them out to you right now.
No, we don't have to. We don't have to do that.
Or do we?
No, I'm going to give it a 6.5 as well.
Yeah, good. Here it is. Batman's in the bathroom taking some meds. Here he is in a fight with Jason. Whatchamacallit? The hell is that when you practice fighting? Is it sparring?
Sparring?
Whatever. Sparring, thank you. I think that's something else. And then here they are kicking some windows in, man, and right on their motorcycles. And then here they are grocery shopping. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. Here's Batman getting off of giving Catwoman the business.
As in, so, he just handed her an account to go handle for him for his new magazine, Bat Monthly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with both of you. Like, that's what I was going to say, but I don't want to feel that. I don't want anyone thinking that, like, you guys swayed my decision, but. You know, it was pretty much right there. Not bad.
This isn't Grizzly Shark where it's like, man, I was going to give it a 9.8, but now your 10 makes me want to be inspired. Boom!
Well, just nothing can be Grizzly Shark.
That's true. This is true.
Yeah, there's not a lot of... Yeah, it's... You know, I agree with you, The Dark Knight, The Master Race is good, has actually been a surprise. Really? But this is like, I want to know where this fits in the, you know, in the world of Batman.
Yeah, I don't know, I think
the beginning was just way too familiar and way too, this has already been done, this, I've already been here. So, slightly disappointed in it. I'm actually going to say that the parts where Batman was grocery shopping was probably the best.
Kale again or, on
no,
sale?
No, not grocery shopping, literally, but there was a part where Alfred told him about his birthday, and I don't know what the hell he was doing. I think he was shaving.
Do you have something else to say?
Making crepes.
Okay. So... All right, so to tie back into what our over-under is going to be, which is Nicolas Cage movies and or roles, apparently the man himself has been spotted in Las Vegas Comic-Con buying $1 million worth of comics and a Ghost Rider painting. Now, something tells me he didn't exactly buy $1 million worth of comic books, but, I mean, if they were all collectibles, maybe he did. I don't know, but I'm... Going to go ahead and say I'm pretty sure he didn't buy $1 million worth of comic books.
I would say no because he sold his comic books to pay off his IRS debts. But I am super pumped that Nicolas Cage is buying comics because I think having... And this sounds stupid, but having famous people into the... medium kind of helps to validate it to ignorant people. But also, like, I think Nicolas Cage is a maniac. So, and I think as much as the Ghost Rider movies were not great, his portrayal of Big Daddy and Kick-Ass was awesome. And I want more of Nicolas Cage playing weird, mentally unstable character. Like, I would have... Like, did you... I haven't seen the documentary yet that the death... What was it, the documentary about the Superman movie that was supposed to come out in the 90s where Nicolas Cage was going to play Superman, except he had a, like, neon light-up suit and long hair, and he was going to fight a gigantic spider?
What?
Yeah, it was like this really, like, Kevin Smith tells this gigantic story about it on one of his spoken word things. But Nicolas Cage, I've seen pictures and video clips of him in the light-up Superman suit. And I've seen concept art where he's, like, sitting there with his fist, and there's this monster spider, like, coming down on him. And I so want that movie to have exist. And Tim Burton was going to make it, which would have made it extra weird because Tim Burton hates comic books and he doesn't really like Superman or anything. So that just would have made it extra weird. I don't know. I think Nicolas Cage is a maniac and his movie roles of late have been less than. And I want to see him make a big, giant Mickey Rourke-style comeback. There's got to be
a... I wonder how did his Action Comics number one get stolen? Like, by his butler or his maid?
I have no idea. I know when he was, like, liquidating all of his assets.
It got stolen, and then he's like, fuck it. I don't even care anymore.
Well, the best part... He came up with it. His name's not actually Nicolas Cage. It's Nicolas Coppola. But he didn't want to seem like he was piggybacking off his uncle's success. And Luke Cage was one of his favorite characters. So he decided to go with Cage as his last name. He has a son with, I forget who, because he's probably been married 50 times. But his son is named Kal-El, which rules. Because he named his son after Superman. And then... when he sold his comic book collection, he sold it all to the drummer from System of a Down, who bought some auction house for comics, like, I guess when the band stopped really doing stuff. Some warehouse in Vegas, he started buying up all these collections and, like, selling them online. I don't know if it did well, but I think he bought all of Nicolas Cage's collection at one point. I just picture Nicolas Cage walking into a convention and going into Artist Alley like his character in Snake Eyes with like the leopard print suit and super enthusiastic but like a twitch in his eye like he just might bite somebody or something.
Possible.
He's like my favorite bad actor. Him and Michael Rapaport. And actually I think Nicolas Cage is occasionally really good. He's often really bad. But every once in a while he's really, really fucking good.
Agreed.
I like him in National Treasure, actually.
I've never seen that.
For real?
No.
The first one's actually I like it.
So do I.
I kind of want to see The Wicker Man, because the first Wicker Man, the original, with Christopher Lee, left a bit to be desired. I mean, the ending was really great, but everything before it was just kind of like, eh, I don't get why people love this movie so much. And I've heard that, not the bees, not the bees, like a million times. So like, I feel like, even though people universally hate that movie, I feel like I still need to see it. I feel like his maniacal portrayal of that character might actually make it watchable.
I think Ghost Rider, the first one, is actually not bad. But the second one is a piece of trash.
I want to see the second one because everybody hates it so much. I feel like maybe I'll find something to like about it.
There ain't nothing to like about it, but when it's over... And even then, you're like, dude, I can't believe I just wasted my life watching it.
Well, have you ever seen Nicolas Cage in Season of the Witch with Ron Perlman?
No.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Really bad. Super bad.
But yeah, that's... I did not know he collected comics. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of celebrities probably grew up being quite nerdy.
Rick Springfield has an insane Star Wars collection.
Rick Springfield?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I didn't know.
I saw a video of that where they went to his house to go look at his Star Wars collection. Star Wars collection is fucking silly.
No, I actually did know about Nicolas Cage's comic collection, but I was under the impression he had sold it all and
he
was
did.
Done.
It says that he did sell it all in 2002, but apparently he's back in the hunt again.
I'm into it.
Going through a midlife crisis.
I'm totally psyched at the slim but more than 0% possibility that one day I'll be at like C2E2.
You'll be able to get him on this podcast.
Oh my god, can you imagine how insane that would be? But like, I'm just...
What if you had him and Brubaker on? What would you do?
At the same time?
Your dick would probably explode, wouldn't it?
At the same time?
Yeah.
I'd probably... My stomach would burst and that would be the end of me. It'd be right at the very end.
Balls would blow up.
Like, they'd both say goodbye And then, yeah, like, my appendix would burst, and I'd bleed out, and that'd be the end of me. And I'd never even get to hear it.
You lived it.
But then I would, like, come back in, like, some kind of ghost form, and I'd hear of how much everybody hated it. And then I'd feel stupid.
Wow.
But I'm just super excited about the slim possibility that someday I'll be, like, flipping through a long box at a convention, and I feel like a shove, and I'm like, dude, what the... Dude, it's Nicolas Cage. And he does, like, the, I don't know, one of his moves from one of his terrible movies. And I'm like, dude, you're like the, if you and Michael Rappaport and me, we like started a podcast, that'd be the best. And he actually was like in a weird state of mind and agreed. And then Michael Rappaport just happened to be across the room. And he's like, do you guys say podcast? I'm in. I'd be like, fuck yes, best podcast ever. I don't even
and
know.
And you guys all go to IHOP afterwards?
Dude, I don't even know what we talk about. But to be like, that'd be like that since 3 minutes ago is my dream.
Hello, Rails. Let's try to find you again.
I was just talking about Nicolas Cage. That is what we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about his collection of comic books. And then we went into your weird fascination of wanting to do a podcast.
Me, Michael Rappaport,
Nicolas
Cage.
Why Michael Rappaport?
Because Nicolas Cage and Michael Rappaport are like the two actors that really aren't very good at acting, but are really awesome.
Yeah, well, now neither one of them will ever be on the show.
Nicolas Cage is kind of awesome.
And I know you were not... You don't feel the same way, but when Michael Rappaport was on Justified, I thought he was awesome.
That was not even close to his abilities. Oh, it was his abilities, but his portrayal of the guy that I forget off the top of my head, not that great.
Sexiness.
No, I'm glad he was there. Don't get me wrong. I want Michael Rappaport to be in everything. Even the movie I'm Not Rappaport, I want him to be in that.
All right. Rails, hi. Coming back to you. Overrunner for the week. Sticking with the Nicolas Cage. We're going to do Nicolas Cage movies. And I don't recall if this was like... I kind of remember there being buzz around this movie. And I know we saw it and we were like, what the fuck did we just watch? But I'm going to go Drive Angry. Because I can't think of anything. I generally like most of his movies. But I remember Drive Angry made me very angry. Because that movie was so stupid and so terrible.
I don't think there was really buzz around it. I just think they kind of advertised it sort of well for the kind of movie it was. Because they kept pushing the whole, it's like if Tarantino was doing Fast and the Furious. I'm like, all right, that's weird. I'm into that. So, and just the title, for some reason, is so straightforward and like lunkheaded that it's kind of sticks with your, you know, your brainstem and... You're just driving home, and you're like, man, I'm driving angry. Man, I need to see that movie now. And then we saw it, and it was, oh, my God, it was so bad.
Agreed.
So bad.
Yup.
So bad.
Giggity.
Me? You're not going to like mine, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The movie is good, but him as Cameron Poe in Con Air... So unbelievably overrated.
No way.
No, the movie itself is good. It's not great, but it is good. John Malkovich, great.
Yes,
Steve Buscemi, great.
Yes.
It's been a while since I've seen it, so I don't...
What's his name is also in it?
John Cusack with sandals, not great.
No. Machete.
Yep.
Danny Trejo.
Thank you. Just trying to think of the name.
I just... His Southern accent is so,
yeah,
so terrible.
That's what makes it awesome. It comes and goes.
No, it's not awesome. It's really bad. I would rather
see... And on the next movie roast, we're doing Con Air.
I'll do Con Air. I'll rip that movie apart. I just don't... I've seen Con Air like 3 times, and every time I'm like, really? I'd rather see him attempt a British accent, because at least that'd be funny. This is terrible. This is not good. Sorry. I'm still a fan in my own way. But I'm just not into it.
Boo.
Watch, he's going to pick his underrated as City of Angels.
Oh, there goes my underrated.
Go.
Overrated. I'm going to have to go with Ghost Rider.
The original or the Spirit of Vengeance?
My guess would be the original, because I don't know if anybody saw the second one.
True.
I unfortunately saw the second one.
I did not see the second one. I did see the first one. And
I like the first one, but I'm still just... when I saw him being Ghost Rider, I was like, dude, I'm like, come on. Really?
I feel like it wasn't anyone's fault, really, but I feel like they put that movie out at a time right before comic book movies got really good. I feel like if they would have done that now, I feel like it would have been way better.
They are doing it now.
I hate when you got...
on Netflix.
With Nicolas Cage?
Oh, I don't think with Nicolas
Cage. Well, then, yeah, it's going to suck.
I don't think... I mean, I don't know.
I was going to say The Sorcerer's Apprentice is a piece of shit, too.
Well, this is not what's a piece of shit and what's not. This is overrated, underrated.
It's overrated.
Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yeah.
Did anybody see that movie?
I saw a little bit of it.
I think I did see it.
Did you?
I'm 50-50 as
sorry
I saw
to
it.
That.
I don't remember.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know much about Ghost Rider, which is to say, I don't know anything about Ghost Rider.
What's to know?
I don't...
they pass it along to a new Ghost Rider every couple hundred years or
whatever.
Yeah,
according to the movie. I have never read a Ghost Rider comic in my life.
Why not?
I know nothing about the character.
Maybe you should go upstairs and
so
start reading.
I can't say Nicolas Cage is a bad Ghost Rider, because maybe Ghost Rider just sucks. Or maybe Ghost Rider rules and Nicolas Cage...
Ghost Rider does rule.
Okay. I just remember some of the lines, like his... Take that, scoundrel. Jesus.
Never said that.
No, he didn't say that, but he had some lines in that movie that I was just like, oh, boo, this is why I didn't want to see this. And I'm like, is Ghost Rider that popular to where he deserved the whole movie? Couldn't he just popped in the Hulk for 5 minutes and drove away? Who's that guy with the flaming skull? Don't pay attention to him. Nobody likes Ghost Rider.
I like Ghost Rider.
If somebody ever said, oh, dude, here's a Ghost Rider story arc you should check out, and it's written by blah, and I'm like, ooh, I like blah, I'd probably look for it at Half Price Books just to get a baseline, but I don't know. I didn't like that movie, so I'm bored with that as being overrated. Sorcerer's Apprentice, I have no basis for comparison or opinion, seeing as I've never seen it.
Mosh.
Sweet. All right, so underrated. Not sure if everyone has seen this movie. If you have not seen this movie, you need to do it immediately after you listen to this podcast. Completely underrated, Weatherman.
That's not the one I was thinking of.
Were you thinking Matchstick Man?
Yes.
I don't think that could be underrated.
I
think everyone loves that movie.
I don't know anybody that's seen it.
Everyone I know that's seen it thinks that movie's awesome.
Who's they, though? Me, you, and who else?
Mike.
That's three of us.
That's pretty much all I know.
It is a great movie. I want it to come on Blu-ray so I can buy it.
Yeah. Weatherman, Brian.
No, the Weatherman's good. The Weatherman is pretty great. Weatherman is really, really great.
Yeah. It's... I don't even know how to put it. But if you don't like it, I will find a way to reimburse your 90 minutes. Personally.
What did you think he was going to say?
Raising Arizona?
I've never seen it.
I started watching it once, and I was like, nope, boring. And I know I'm going to hear from like 20 people now, like, what do you mean boring? All right. I watched it 12 years ago. I'll give it another try. But Coen Brother movies, hit or miss for me. Miller's Crossing, amazing. Big Lebowski, terrible. Sorry. No, it's terrible. I'm not sorry.
I agree.
The movie's terrible.
It is.
The Man Who Wasn't There, amazing. Burn After Reading, not that great. True Grit, really bad. The Weatherman.
Brian's pick?
Moonstruck. You know what, though? Okay, that's not my pick. However, I did see...
Got married.
Wow, this guy knows a lot of Nicolas Cage movies. You know what I could have picked for overrated is Wild at Heart. That was just okay. But I did watch Moonstruck once, like 14 years ago, and I laughed my ass off. And I have not been able to see it again, but when I get the chance, I want to, because For some reason, him with that wooden hand, I could not stop laughing. Never a movie I wanted to see. Saw it completely by accident, and I fucking laughed like crazy. And all because of his wooden hand. So now I'm going to go back and watch it with this big expectation. It's going to totally be a letdown. I'm fucking going to hate myself. No, mine, and I know Scott's going to disagree, and I don't even care. Somebody in this world should agree with me. Terrence McDonough from Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Yeah, I completely disagree. I knew you were going to pick either that or Bringing Out the Dead or whatever.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one.
Nailed it.
That was also really good. Shit, that could have been my pick. That movie is amazing. That whole sequence with him and Tom Sizemore is like the best thing I ever filmed. But no, Port of Call, New Orleans is so good, and it's pretty recent too. It was right when Nicolas Cage's career was about to just go off the cliff, or was like just starting to go off the cliff. And I actually didn't really care much for the original Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel. I thought a lot of him naked for no reason, and the part where he's masturbating while the girl's in the car was weird, and I don't remember if it had a story. Probably did. I didn't really care much for it, but Port of Call, New Orleans, though. So, am I the only one besides Scott that's seen that movie?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Nicolas Cage, he's a detective, and he smokes crack and does all kinds of crazy stuff that entire movie. And there's an iguana that only he can see, and there's alligators and drug deals, and he snaps on an old lady and puts a gun to her head and screams at her, and it's great. And I don't know why anybody would not love this movie, because it's Nicolas Cage completely fucking unhinged for like 2 hours. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and guess there's a 50-50 chance that Damien has seen it and he may or may not like it.
We'll never know.
That's some pretty sweet allegations there.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much right in the center of the...
Pretty sure he might have seen it, and I'm pretty sure he might have liked it.
No, I said he may or may not have liked it. There's a 50-50 chance he's seen it and a 50-50 chance he's liked it or not liked it. All right, go.
Underrated. I'm gonna have to go with 8mm.
I like that movie. I really
do. It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
You know what's weird?
What?
I think critics hated that movie, but I actually also really liked that movie because it was really disturbing.
Oh yeah, it's really fucked. Especially the guy who just buys the snuff film just because.
Right.
Well,
because I could.
Sometimes you feel like, you know, the honeymooner. Sometimes you feel like a snuff film. I mean, you know,
urban legend.
You never know where the day's going to take you. It's been a while. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
No, I agree.
That movie's really weird from start to finish.
Yeah, it's weird in a good way, though. So, moving on to our... Well, before we move on, let's say if there's any, if you guys got anything out there you want us to do over under on, give us some suggestions. Let's start some kind of a hashtag on the Twitter. I don't know, just hashtag comic roast, hashtag over under.
Peanut butter brands.
Right, yeah, anything you want, we will talk about. So,
or you could just tweet at the comic roast and say, hey, you should do blah for over under. And then I'll go, hey, this guy said we should do blah, and then we'll do blah.
Yeah, and we'll do it right away.
But if it's like My Little Pony characters, like none of us know anything, so.
Which means we're going to have to go buy comics and familiarize it.
Not do that.
Okay. Well, never mind then.
The one time I saw that shirtless guy buying them in the store was super. That was creepy enough for 5 lifetimes. I will never.
Are you serious?
He had a tank top on. I'm exaggerating a little bit.
But
the guy had a full beard. He had a full beard. And he had flip-flops on and a tank top, and he bought like 7 My Little Pony comics.
Weird.
You should have called the cops right away.
I asked the people at the store, I'm like, does that guy always do that? And they're like, yes. I'm like, do you guys have him on like a terrorist watch list? Because you really ought to think about it.
Is he a sexual...
I don't know, dude. He looked like...
Is he a sex offender?
He looked like Daniel Stern from Home Alone. That's who he looked like.
Dude, I seriously would have called the cops, dude. I would have called the cops and be like, this is an emergency. How so? I just saw a bearded man in flip-flops in a tank top buying My Little Pony comics. We'll be there right away.
That is not the best thing ever, though. Go.
It is not. But moving on to the best thing ever, let's see. I've got so many different things to choose from. You know what? It's been about a month now, I think. So I'm going to go best thing ever is we got a new mixer. And the one I had before was fine. There was nothing wrong with it, but it only had, you know, two main inputs, and they're, you know, so we can only have two cool condenser microphones. Well, now we've got a much bigger mixer, and we can have way cooler. We can have four awesome microphones now. So, I don't know. It's pretty dope, and it wasn't really all that much money, and you're welcome, America.
Wow, man.
Right?
It's deep.
Right.
Mine is, this morning, I was driving to work. I decided to listen to the podcast Geek's Guide to the Galaxy, and I listened to the episode about the history of Dungeons & Dragons, where they interviewed, or the guy who hosts the show interviewed two guys. One's an actor, one is the writer for Forbes.com. They both wrote books about the history of Dungeons & Dragons and the history of Gary Gygax, who was one of the creators of Dungeons & Dragons, and they went through this extensive, exhaustive history of this game and its origins and its where it's gone, where it's going in an hour.
I'm pretty sure it came from England.
No, it actually came from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yep.
Holy
Gary Gygax and the other guy's name, Dave Arneson, I believe his name is, they were making games as far back as the 60s. I guess in the 50s and 60s, there was a very small cult, but at least a very passionate one about tabletop games, and not Monopoly or Sorry, but in the 50s and 60s, there were teenagers who were, guess what, nerds, and they played miniature games, war games, little sci-fi action games, and Gary Gygax was one of those kids, and so was Dave Arneson, and when they hit their adult years, they started making their own games, and they were basically just making games for their friends. Then they came up with this game called Dungeons & Dragons, and the reason being was because all the years they played these war games, they're all controlling armies, and then they said, well, why are we creating a game based on historical events? Let's create a fantasy game where we can just go anywhere. And then from there, they said, I don't want to control armies, I want a character that I can identify with, which is where the entire birth of RPGs came from. And then they just go into this whole thing about how the game sold way better than they ever expected. There was a period of time when the Tolkien estate was threatening them with lawsuits because they actually used characters from Lord of the Rings in the first run of Dungeons & Dragons. There weren't monsters as we know them in the game now. They used the Balrog. They used hobbits. They actually used some characters from the book by name. Thinking, like, no one's ever going to know. Well, Tolkien estate found out once they started making millions of dollars, and they're like, yeah, cease and desist immediately. And then it goes in the whole, like, mid-80s through the 90s, the satanic panic. I learned more about Dungeons & Dragons this morning than I've ever would have known in my entire life.
Did you learn how to play
it? Mentioned that satanic panic, I think there was a Dungeons & Dragons book. I think I remember when I was a kid. It looked like it hit fucking Lucifer on the fucking cover.
And that's the thing. Gary Gygax was a Mormon. And they asked him, how do you quantify your being a Mormon with making games with demons and naked ladies? And he goes, well, I keep my gaming separate from my religion.
Sex.
I'm going to assume that Gary Gygax had sex at least once in his life.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the word sex.
We'll be cutting that out.
Okay, whatever.
But no, he asked if we had learned the game. He went through the various iterations of the game, how the first one was, and then what version 2.0 did, how they changed it 3.0. And I guess the big problem with 4.0, which was the last version, the last edition, they thought that Dungeons & Dragons faced extinction if they didn't try to compete with video games. So they made everything more along the lines of World... They based the 4th edition off World of Warcraft. And people hate it. But then they went and did 5th edition, and they kind of brought it back to its roots, and now it's selling better than ever, and it's really popular again, and it's gaining all this all these new players and stuff. So they go through this whole thing, and then they talk about this lady, Lorraine Williams, who she wasn't a gamer, but she was a huge, like, book reader all her life. She came up with the idea of the Dragonlance series, the Driz series, all these different book series, because she's like, all these kids are buying books to play the game. What if we wrote novels based in these worlds to sell? And next thing you know, here comes all these Dragonlance and all these writers who are now famous. So, Dungeons & Dragons, learned a lot today.
Sweet.
Pretty good. Into it.
Yeah, I would be into it, but... I hate having to write everything down.
This guy hates doing things.
Dude, that's all you have to fucking do. It's just dice, a piece of paper, and a pencil.
And your imagination.
Fuck that. Give you imagination.
Why don't you give us the best thing ever?
Dude, I bought a slingshot. Yeah.
Really?
Fuck yeah, I did.
Interesting.
Hold it in my hand right now.
For any specific reason, or?
I don't know, to shoot squirrels, maybe? Birds? No, not to shoot squirrels or birds. I don't know, just the neighbor's cat? It was $16. I looked at it, I was like, dude.
Where?
Why not? Walmart.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you want to go to Target now and buy yourself a slingshot?
No.
Well, you shop at Target, don't you?
Target, I do, yes.
I want to go buy 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, if that's a thing.
I will probably play that eventually. I could probably do it now that I'm old. 12-year-old Chris wouldn't have had the patience for it. That's why I do a lot of the nerd activities that I wanted to do when I was a kid. Do them now. I have the patience for them now.
I just do them because I'm going through a midlife crisis.
No, seriously, building models, I tried to do that when I was a kid. I didn't have the patience for it. Now I do.
Well, there's another reason. I have the money now, sort of. And back then, I didn't with a $2 a week allowance. I would have had to save for an entire year to get...
I would have got Dungeons & Dragons when I was a kid and been like, dude, where are all the fucking cool skeletons with shields and swords I saw on the cover? Where are they? What? I got to think them up. Oh...
Not to mention, I think there was a Dungeons & Dragons game for Atari or Nintendo.
In television.
Oh, it was in television, and it was so complicated.
Love the cartoon. Love the cartoon.
I want to watch it now. I gotta go get it.
That cartoon fucking rules.
I think Five Below had it on DVD for $3.
I gotta get it.
I gotta go look.
It ruled when I was 10, and it rules at 42.
Nope. I'm into it.
I even had some of the toys. Don't you remember they had action figures then too?
They have them now.
They still have the Dungeons and Dragons action figures.
They make so much stuff from. There's 5 million novels. There are 4 D&D adventure set board games. I have 2 of them. That's right.
Some of the toys that they made, they actually appeared in the cartoon, War Duke, and Tiamat and.
Caius?
I am trying to think of who else.
Say Caius.
Why?
Because Caius is named after a Dungeons & Dragons character. The old, the pre-Queens of the Stone Age band. Yeah, those dudes all played Dungeons & Dragons, I guess. Anyway. Scott's falling asleep.
No. I can't see
Scott's
the computer
screen. Dude, I gotta go and get a slingshot.
No, I'm gonna go play Overwatch.
Oh, you are?
And I'm going to go watch The Man from
Over. I might for a little bit.
Let me see what time is it.
9:30.
Oh, okay.
Sweet. So there you have it. That is our show for the week. And don't forget, if you want us to do anything special or whatever, tweet us. We will take requests, I guess, is the way to put it. Other than that, don't forget to check out reviewandroast.com. Buy your movie tickets there. Check out comicroast.com to listen to all of our old shows. And other than that, we will see you next week.